From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made in 1989. A group of Rochester area residents wanted to support local farming and they wanted consistent deliveries of local food. They launched one of the first documented CSAs in the country when they created the Genesee Valley Organic CSA. By 1998, they had changed the name to Peacework Organic CSA, partnering with the Peacework Farm in Newark. Now, CSA stands for Community Supported Agriculture, and in 1989, there were not many around. The concept seems to have come from a pair of European farmers, one from Germany, one from Switzerland, who arrived in the United States in the mid-80s with the goal of fostering biodynamic agriculture. We are not going to delve into a long lesson on biodynamics, and the practices are unusual, sometimes controversial. But suffice to say, the ideas come from an Austrian named Rudolf Steiner, and these two European farmers brought them to the USA. By the late 1980s, the CSA movement was not about biodynamics, but about community-supported agriculture, and it was slowly beginning to emerge. Well, nearly 30 years later, CSAs have become enormously popular with the locavore movement, but not every CSA is the same. We want to explore how they operate, how much it costs to become a member, and a lot more. Joining us for the hour are Ben Eskind and Emma Brinkman from Pachamama Farm in Farmington. Nice to see you, Emma.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Ben, thanks for being here.
Yeah, great to be here.
Thank you for the awesome gingerbread loaf that came from Pachamama that is already being devoured in our newsroom.
Oh, you are so welcome.
Flattery will get you everywhere. Chris Hartman's here from Good Food Collective. Thanks for being here, Chris.
Thank you, Evan. I appreciate it.
And Melissa Carlson from Peacework Organic CSA, 26th year.
Yes.
This year. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you.
And I want to jump over to Chris Hartman real quick because some of our listeners may be familiar with Good Food Collective, and it's an important distinction. Technically, Good Food Collective, while they have a large membership comparatively, is not technically a CSA. Give us a little distinction, Chris.
Yeah, we've actually obviously been very inspired by the CSA model and have just a tremendous amount of respect and love for what that's done for local farmers and how that kind of project operates. But the Good Food Collective has really tried to figure out a way to scale up that model and really make it accessible to a lot more people, a lot more farmers, and a lot more eaters, really on both sides of it. So in doing so, we have shifted a little bit on some of the kind of core characteristics of CSA and how that operates. Again, our team working with our group of farmers have really tried to figure out how to have a multi-farm model, more farmers participating, and then really a hyper-convenient way to push it out into the community.
Okay, and so if you have questions about CSAs, the CSA model, Good Food Collective, or more, you can call us at 263-WXXI, 263-9994. We're going to try to answer them all in this hour, and we already have a lot of listener questions online on our Facebook pages and also on Twitter. You can follow me at Evan Dawson. We're going to get to some of these questions. There's some really good questions coming in, but I want to start with a very basic one because there still will be a chunk of our listening audience who don't know what a CSA is, or they sort of heard it in a cursory sense but haven't really found out what it is. So I want to start with Melissa because Peacework Organic goes back to 1989. You were at the leading edge of CSAs. What is a CSA, Melissa?
Community supported agriculture for us has a bit of a social context as much as farming, that we wanted to get people who live in the city or mostly away from rural areas to be able to relate to a farmer and the food that's there. So we have a group that, different from most of them, we have a core group that runs it, and we strive for member participation. So we get people going out to the farm to work on the farm. They see where the food's coming from, and they meet the farmers. The main idea is that the community, the people who belong to the CSA, really know the farmer, and there's nothing in between. So I used to tell people in the early days, oh, I can't come over. I've got to go to my farm. You have a farm? Well, yes. Once I've been there a long time, it does feel like my farm.
I completely relate. I remember when I took my first visit out to Autumn's Harvest Farm in Romulus, and I met the farm, met the Haws there and saw the animals there. It felt like a mini version of Joel Salatin's farm that we learned about in Michael Pollan's book. And now, once in a while, when friends are over, if we're cooking a steak, we say, oh, this is from our farm. It's not our farm. I don't own the farm.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You do feel that. And Melissa, how important is it to you to know where your food comes from? I'm always amazed when people don't care to know where their food comes from.
It's tremendously important. I didn't see broccoli growing until I was 30, even though I grew up in California. And now I know where it comes from. I know where the dirt comes from. And I know a lot of other farmers at the public market and places like that where I know a lot of stuff. I know where my grain is grown, that I know who mills it. So
we're hearing Melissa's take and the take from Peacework Organic CSA. Let me ask Emma, how, when your friends or customers ask, interesting, you guys are doing a CSA and you've only been doing it for a year. What is a CSA? What do you tell them?
Well, our approach to a CSA is similar to Melissa's. We basically consider it a farm share program in which our members pay for our produce upfront, like most CSAs, for a seasonal share of produce. They come to our farm every week for 16 weeks, and there they meet us. We don't require our members to volunteer. We offer it as an incentive for a discounted rate on their share price. But basically, it's a way for us to connect with our members on a little bit of a deeper level so that we see them weekly, provide them with food weekly, and that way we feel like our relationship with the people who are eating our food mm-hmm. is a little bit deeper in that way.
So it's a 16-week run. And how many times a year? I mean, is there a spring and then a summer, fall, or how do you differentiate?
For us, we only have the one.
Just the one.
One, what we consider a peak season CSA, and that's 16 weeks.
And it starts when?
It starts on June 24th this year and runs through October 7th.
And people pay upfront one fee,
correct.
One time.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Is it the same model for Peacework, Melissa? How many weeks and one payment upfront? Give us a sense for that.
We have a 26-week CSA. So we start May 22nd, we end November 16th. And you can pay up front, you can pay monthly. The idea is you make a pledge. Mm-hmm. And another thing that's important to me is we are supporting the farmers financially. So it's really a two-way street that I'm keeping a farm in business and the farm is giving me food.
And Good Food Collective, Chris, seems to operate year-round. And give me a sense for your seasons or the way you break down membership in CSA. Oh, again, in Good Food Collective, which is technically not a CSA,
right.
But operates for that model.
So we've actually got, and this has taken us a while to sort of build capacity in partnership with our farmers and with the community, but we now have a year-round program available to members. We have a spring, summer, fall, and winter membership program, and they each have different lengths and sort of obviously a different focus around the food that's available from farms during that season. But it really does celebrate and really does allow for the year-round supply chain of just wonderful local options. The winter often being the most puzzling to people that are trying to imagine how you eat local during that season. That's an exciting project that we've been working on for a while, actually in partnership with a processor who helps us freeze local fruits and vegetables. So our winter program is indeed the sort of classic, ever-loved storage root crops, your beets and rutabagas and potatoes and carrots and whatnot. But we're also now offering a full line of frozen fruits and vegetables from our same partner farms available through the winter season, as well as fresh salad greens that some of the farmers have started to innovate and grow throughout the year, and stored apples and other products like that. So, yeah, we have four different seasons available for membership now at the Good Food Collective.
We've already had some listener questions and some comments about meat shares, some other products. We're going to be getting into that because I know Good Food Collective does that, and CSAs take different approaches to that. Again, 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Just to give you a look at the diversity of what's available in this room, and there's a lot of farms doing CSAs. So, you know, it's not just Pachamama and Peacework and Good Food, but there just the diversity in this room. Good Food Collective is 5 years old. How many members now, Chris?
This past summer we had 1,200 members.
Okay. And Melissa, Peacework Organic CSA is 25 in your 26th year.
Yes.
And you have how many members?
We are shooting for 150, 200.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good, comfortable number?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And we've got some members pick up at the farm. They live out in Newark or closer there. Most of them pick up downtown.
Okay. And then Pachamama is brand new. Mm-hmm. And so how many members did you have in your first year? You had how many?
We had 25 members last year.
What are you shooting for this year?
50.
Okay. But it's early in the season. And Ben, How many do you have signed up, and what are your thoughts on the season? It has been such a long winter. I'm looking outside of beautiful sunshine, finally. And it's amazing that there actually is going to be food growing out of our ground soon. But has it slowed the process? How are things going with CSA sign-up?
Yeah, we don't have that many members signed up as of yet, thanks in part probably to the long winter. But we're, you know, just getting rolling here. We have good expectations looking forward. I don't think it'll be too hard for us to meet our goals this year. But we also paired our CSA model with wholesale restaurant distribution. And so we've been spending some time in the off season this year going around and getting to talk with local chefs and kind of hashing out kind of what produce they're interested in seeing so that we can really cater some of our growing to chefs and their specific interests as well. And for us, you know, the restaurant distribution and the CSA model have gone well together, and we're, you know, ramping up both of those revenue streams, I think, this year.
And do you get a sense, and we're talking to Ben Eskin and Emma Brinkman, whose Emma's family has been in the restaurant business for years, so you've seen it up close, what the way restaurants have to decide what food sources you want to use. Obviously, cost is a factor. Have you seen local restaurants, either the ones that in which you've worked or you're seeing with your family, et cetera, are you seeing more focus on local now?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, not everyone can afford what tends to be slightly higher prices from local farms. However, I think that based on customer demand, looking for local food and sustainable food coming into restaurants, I think that the chefs are sort of meeting that interest from their customers by, you know, stating which farm produce comes from on the menu and really reaching out to us and other area farmers and providers in order to source things a little bit more regionally.
All right, so we're getting a lot of questions about the cost and the duration. And again, as you just heard, every CSA or Good Food Collective, everybody does it a little bit differently. But let's talk a little bit about what it costs, what is available. And I'll start with Melissa. If you want to become a member of Piecework Organic CSA, what does it take?
We have partial shares and full shares, mm-hmm. and partial share is 4 to 6 items, and that's $350 for the season.
And again, that's how many weeks?
26 weeks.
26 weeks, $350, and it's a weekly pickup?
Yes.
It's a weekly pickup. Okay, and there's partial share and
full share, which is 7 to 11 items, and obviously they're both of those. They're sparser in the spring, heavier in the winter. And the full share, we have a sliding scale from $475 for low income to $775, and the people who can pay at the top are subsidizing the people who can pay at the bottom. We also accept food stamps, so we try to include everybody regardless of income and regardless of ability too.
What is the impact that you're hearing from families who might not otherwise be able to afford it, to get a little bit of that help?
It's really nice to be able to say, yeah, here's our brochure about how you sign up on your food stamps and the EBT. And that's part of our social consciousness, that we wanted to be able to reach out to everybody.
When you talk about items on a weekly basis, give me a sense for what a share looks like.
A full share mid-season is going to be a lot of things you would expect, that corn, tomatoes, summer squash, and maybe a few things you don't, tot soy, bok choy, things that are Asian greens, kohlrabi. We have one member a long time ago said, what do I do with this food? And take a bite of it. If you like it, eat it raw. If you don't, cook it. We have 60 different crops and many varieties of each of those. We have a food book on our website that tells nutritional value and some recipes.
Okay. Let's talk to Good Food Collective about what their shares look like. And by the way, on Twitter, Emily says, so glad you're talking about CSAs on Connections. Love, love, love Good Food Collective. Chris Hartman is a visionary. Are you blushing?
That's very sweet. I appreciate that.
So you have a fan listening right now. And Hart's Local Grocers is talking about this show right now. A lot of people are listening and getting a sense for what's out there. I get the sense that a lot of people who know CSAs are really passionate about it and love it. But the neat thing is when you introduce people for the first time, you know, and I know that Melissa's seen that for 25 years. Good Food's seen it for 5 years. Pachamama is starting to see that on a year-to-year basis. So let's talk about what shares look like for you guys. How do you structure at Good Food Collective your shares?
Yeah. Well, one thing I want to say, too, just about the CSA model and part of what I think people love about it, or part of what I hope they recognize and love about CSA. We have talked a lot about the relationships that that creates between eaters and farmers, and that's a really important part of CSA. But one of the exciting things about it, and again, part of what we're trying to really hold on to and scale up with the Good Food Collective, is as far as a business approach and really thinking about food systems and sustainable agriculture, one of the most important aspects of CSA is this kind of signing up ahead of time sort of thing. One of the real challenges of farming is having any knowledge of the marketplace and how much food you're going to be able to grow and sell.
Now, hold on. You made a great point. I want to hear the actual farmers in the room, Emma and Ben, jump in and reflect on that. But how much does that make sense to you? Exactly.
Oh, no,
what he just
but
said.
Chris is totally right. It's a huge deal. For one, having cash flow in advance of the season is a big help for us. But the other thing, like Chris is bringing up, is that you know we save money and can keep our prices really competitive. The more that we can plan, the less waste we can create, the better off we are. And a lot of that has to do with how many people we're going to be aiming to serve in a season. And we do this with our chefs too. We try to get a really good sense of how much produce they're interested in buying on a weekly basis so that we can really, tailor exactly what we're growing to this. I mean, it reduces our costs a whole lot.
What an important point that Chris makes, because when you cover agriculture the way that I've written about agriculture for years, there's not a whole lot of glamour in the dirt under the fingernails, and there's a lot of living on the edge and depending on weather, et cetera. And so having cash flow in advance is part of this model, as he said, so important. So how many farms does Good Food Collective work with, Chris?
We work with about 22 different local farmers right now.
Far and wide, how far?
We just did somewhat of a distance analysis not long ago. They're all within about 47 miles, I think is the farthest of Rochester, with a couple of outliers. Thorpe's Family Organic Farm out near Buffalo they're one of our favorite partner farms with some of the fantastic food they grow. They're a little bit farther than that, but most of ours are, the same local farms that people have gotten to know over the years from local markets and local access points here.
Okay, so the point you're making is that such an important part of the model is signing up in advance. And then what happens for you? And by the way, we're going to try to get a lot of cost breakdown here. So you guys have four seasons, but what's it cost to sign up?
Right. So each season, because it has a different length and whatnot, has a different price associated with it. But we've really tried to pull the mystery out of it to some degree. And what we're working with now, to give some sense of the cost structure, is about $25 a week. That's what the Good Food Collective is putting out there, sort of the cost of getting a really diverse, really abundant supply from local farmers for your week's, kitchen needs.
Do you pay weekly, or can you pay
offer some payment plans, but similar again with the CSA model, we're really looking for upfront payment before the given season that you're signed up for. So, for example, spring, summer, and fall memberships are currently available for the 2014 season, and each one has a different price. And the hope is that although you can break up your cost by the first delivery of that particular season, people's membership fees will be paid up. And we have a very online-oriented way that we provide information and sell membership. So there's a lot of details on there and a lot of ways for people to break down the cost and make that work.
Piecework organic. Go ahead.
I was going to say it isn't. Part of it isn't that you pay up front, but that you have pledged to continue paying, so that the farm is guaranteed an income even if the weather is lousy. We had one week where we gave out one bag of peas because it was a drought. It's not the farmer's fault. So we're going to collect their money sometimes through the season. Sometimes we have to keep on to get payment after the season.
But by and large, your members understand that.
Yeah, yeah. We're paying the farmer a wage, and the weather isn't their fault.
Okay, yeah. Another important point. And so Melissa said, Piecework has partial share, full shares. What's the share set up with Good Food Collective?
So we have the Share, which is sort of our core offering there, and that's what I referenced as far as the $25 a week. And I think very similar, it's sort of the 8 to 12 different varieties of food each week, and of each variety it tends to be the amount of food that people are typically buying at a farmer's market or at the grocery store, a couple of quarts of tomatoes, a pound of green beans, a few heads of lettuce, you know, 6 ears of corn, and a handful of summer squash, so on. And you know, again, for us, the each season is a different length. We offer that share. We offer a double share for families that are significant fruit and vegetable eaters, or just interested in preserving or entertaining or whatever it might be. We also offer a few different distribution models. The Good Food Collective is well known for our kind of funky green trucks that we drive around the community and set up these distribution spots at various workplaces and community spots. But for the last 2 years, we've been really really ramping up a pre-box delivery program where we sign up partnering workplaces and we drop off pre-box shares to those workplaces. That, too, has just a slightly different cost structure, our pre-box program. And we also offer an express box for people to just pick up at a green truck delivery. So there's a lot of different options, and each with a slightly different price offering. But $25 a week is sort of what we look to talk to people about as far as a really good investment in great food on a weekly basis.
On our Facebook page, Beth says, "Love good food. I enlisted enough people to get delivery to my old building. Now that Spring Share is coming up, I'm going to see what I can do to recruit enough people to my new place of work to get deliveries."
Fantastic.
Here.
Well, we're really encouraging. Again, one of the beautiful things about CSA, and you know, I know a lot of people are really excited about supporting local farms. A lot of people are interested in kind of a positive change in the food system and healthier food and a better local economy and all of these really important things. CSA is just such a wonderful way to really contribute to all of those important causes. And again, our effort to make it really convenient for people to make those good choices, we're excited to expand it. So workplace delivery, getting people signing up members at their workplace so that we can drop off boxes there. We're really excited about bringing that around Rochester and allowing people access in that way.
The board's being funky today. My engineer, Dave Campa, we've got two callers on the line. Is that correct? I see none of them. I see absolutely none of them. So before we jump over to Pachamama to get their structure, let's bring in our first caller that I did not even know was there. Ruth, I hope you haven't been waiting long, but thanks for calling Connections.
Hi.
There, go ahead.
My name is Ruth Blackwell, and I run Mud Creek Farm in Victor. It's a CSA as well. Mm-hmm. And I've found that one of the biggest reasons for me personally to run a farm in the CSA model as opposed to, you know, selling retail and wholesale is education. We have a big pick your own section, and I see families out there, you know, teaching their kids where their food comes from, and it's an amazing thing to watch. You know, kids who would never eat peas are suddenly eager to eat them because they pick them themselves, you know. And I think that it's a much more healthy way for families to be eating, and it just has a great impact on the community.
Ruth, how many years have you been doing a CSA?
Mud Creek's been around for 6 years. I used to work for Peace Work, so mm-hmm. I know Melissa very well.
Melissa was nodding and smiling there. how many members at Mud Creek?
We had 300 last year, and we're shooting for the same number this year.
And do you generally see members come back once they sign up?
Yeah, I have a lot of hardcore fans. I mean, sometimes people leave because they're moving or they are going to travel a lot that year and can't make it out every week. But a lot of our members are repeats.
Well, we appreciate the call, and go ahead, Ruth, tell us where to find you online.
Yeah, mudcreekfarm.com. There's a lot of info on the website. There's also ways to contact us, and I always have my phone on me, so anyone can call. And we allow people to sign up online, too, so that's really the easiest way to do it.
Good stuff. Thanks for taking the time to call and weigh in here. And what we're starting to see is this picture of Good Food Collective is pretty mobile, and then you've got different farms that are either deciding if they can be mobile or if they even want to be mobile. Pachamama Farm is in Farmington, and that is a pickup, and So, Emma, why don't you tell us a little bit about the structure of your 16 weeks, what your shares look like, and again, what it costs, the cost for Pachamama to become a member.
Sure. So, similar to both the Good Food Collective and Peace Work, we offer two share sizes. That was actually based on demand from our members last year to offer a smaller share size. So we have a full season, a full share, which is $450 for 16 weeks. We also offer a partial share, which is intended to feed more like two people rather than a family of four. Mm-hmm. It's a smaller variety of produce that we will select from the larger share size. That goes for $300 for the 16 weeks. What we also offer, as I mentioned previously, is we do a $50 discount off of either share size if our members are willing to commit to 8 hours of volunteer work over the course of the season. It's pretty minimal amount of commitment, and like Ruth was mentioning, it what we're sort of hoping for in drawing members to the farm is that it allows them to have a closer connection to the food that they will be getting on a weekly basis from us. We have had a fair amount of interest from families asking whether or not they can bring their kids out to the farm for these volunteer sessions. So that hopefully is a way for people to find it a little bit more economical.
And you probably love when the kids come out.
Yeah. Yes. And I mean, not only is it helpful, but it certainly brightens our day.
Yeah. You're looking at potentially lifetime, not only members of your CSA, but children who might not be exposed to food in other ways. And all of a sudden, they see food up close and they start to appreciate local agriculture and they ask questions about where it comes from. We are going to get to a break in just a second. I want to get one more call in here. I think this is Danielle. Hello, Danielle.
Hi. Only started to listen 5 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if the Melissa is the Melissa from Peace Work.
She is.
Oh, good. I wanted to make sure that what was once Rose Valley Farm and then Peace Works was getting acknowledgement, because Peace Works is such a different model in some ways. And I I've been a member of it, I think, since the second year it was formed. So that's over 20 years. And what's wonderful about it is what everybody else has been talking about, but that it really, in terms of the family and getting to know your farmers, but there's something else that's really different in that there is a collective spirit in there, a sense of people working together, a sense of people, I mean, it's not a choice, really. You have to contribute to the CSA in some way. So I'm just glad that that's the right Melissa. That's what I asked your person who takes the phone calls, because I didn't think I needed to say anything.
No, that's okay. No, it is indeed. And Danielle, thanks for the call. I'm late for a break, but I do want Melissa to weigh in on that point there. And by the way, look at Melissa and Chris, and look at the celebrity that you guys are gaining. Ben and Emma, do you see the future that you're setting up for yourself in the CSA?
Hopefully.
You did not know this. But address Danielle's point there on beyond just getting food every week.
It is community. My first day working on the farm, we spent talking about women's literature and views on that. One couple got married. I've seen Spanish teachers on different school districts connect with each other, and I'm an architect. I offered a contractor a work job there, and a lot of the people I know right now, I think, oh, where'd I meet them? Yeah, it was CSA 20 years ago. So community is one of our focuses. That's our tagline, community is at our roots.
We're talking CSAs, the proliferation of CSAs. And if you're wondering, according to localharvest.org, there are more than 4,000 CSAs nationally. I mean, it's hard to get an actual number, but there's an idea. And Buffalo Spree wrote that in the early parts of the 2000s, of the aughts, there were two known CSAs in the area between Jamestown and Buffalo and a few more in Rochester. That has obviously changed, and especially in the last 5 years or so. So we're going to be addressing a lot of love for CSAs, and we're talking to Pachamama Farms. They have a CSA. Peacework Organic is the first local CSA. Good Food Collective is here. So a lot of love for it. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the mild concerns or complaints that exist, and there are some. What do you do with all this kohlrabi? We are going to try to figure it out with the experts in the room. Next, you're listening to Connections on this Thursday afternoon post-blizzard. Thanks for listening to member-supported public radio.
Fresh off its win for Best Foreign Language Film at this year's Academy Awards, Italian film The Great Beauty returns this week to the Little. An ode to Fellini and a love letter to Rome, the movie follows a wealthy and charmed journalist who suddenly begins to take stock of his life. searching past the extravagant nightclubs, parties, and cafes to find Rome in all its glory. The Los Angeles Times says the great beauty is drop-dead gorgeous, a film that is luxuriously, seductively, stunningly cinematic. Learn more at thelittle.org.
Welcome back to Connections on this Thursday afternoon. Matt on Twitter says, wife and I are members of Peacework CSA. We love food variety and supporting farmers we have come to know through working on farms. Hearts Local Grocers says, thanks for the shout out. They're loving the show today. A lot of people are listening and thinking about agriculture, even though, as my colleague Michelle Faust is here to tell us and update us, it's been hard to think about agriculture in the last 24 hours. Pretty soon there will be asparagus pushing through the ground resiliently. But Michelle, you've been out covering post-blizzard today. Where have you been today?
I did not see any asparagus. I was out at the Greater Rochester International Airport, very quiet. It stayed open overnight, but because of all the snow, not very many flights made it in or out. And this morning it was just silent there because there were so many canceled flights and some delayed flights as well.
But hopefully not a lot of people waiting around. Hopefully they had enough advance notice for that.
Most people did. There were a few people who were not very happy they didn't get the email or the whatever notification that they're used to getting from their airlines. But most people were not there. It was pretty empty this morning. A lot of delayed flights for the people who were there. I spoke to Bruce Herbig, he's 73. He's from Syracuse. And I felt very bad for him. From his 6 a.m. flight going to St. Louis, with all the delays, 12-hour delay, he wasn't going to be able to leave until this evening at 6 o'clock.
I came up actually yesterday to avoid the storm and stayed overnight and gave a shot that my flight was going to go today, and it will go eventually. But it'll be dark again before it goes.
So people are still at the airport dealing with those delays.
What else did you see? You were in some neighborhoods this morning where I know it was a bit of a headache.
Yeah, it was quite cold. I was walking around. I walked around with Jay Von Young. He's an 18-year-old student at All City High School. He was walking to his bus stop. The bench at the bus stop was completely covered with snow, and he had some complaints about the walk this morning.
I find it very stressful. It's a lot of snow to walk through. It's like we had such clear days, and all of a sudden all this snow just got dumped on us. And it's really cold out here. It's a lot of snow to walk through. It's really hard to walk in.
And basically, everyone I'm talking to is ready for spring and ready for the spring produce.
But this is where you may have a bias, because for our listeners who may have just been hearing Michelle recently, it is so great to have Michelle here. She's a new member of our team. Absolute professional, and comes to us from, you want to tell people where you had to come from?
I moved here from the sunniest place on earth, Yuma, Arizona, where all of the winter greens that people consume come from in this country.
Yeah, you came here, and one of the questions you had was about CSAs, which we're talking about this hour, because you were saying you're used to produce being pretty much incessantly available.
Absolutely. So yeah, I'm someone who likes a lot of fresh produce and a lot of food, and I didn't know where it was coming from, since I knew it was coming from trucks from across the country, from the desert.
That's nice to know. It's not just trucks. Hey, thank you for the update.
Thank you.
Michelle Faust, my colleague with WXXI, who has had the enjoyable assignment of being out today covering the weather. Now, we are talking about CSAs and local agriculture, community-supported agriculture. And if you're just joining us, we have quite a diverse panel in the room. And Michelle Carlson, Michelle, I just changed your name. Melissa Carlson is from Peacework Organic CSA, which was founded in 1989. And if you want to find Peacework Organic, where do they find you online?
PeaceworkCSA.org.
And all the details on signing up, detailed information on what the shares look like. Same question for Pachamama. Where do they find you?
PachamamaFarmNY.com. And Pachamama is spelled PachaMama.
In case you find a Pachamama farm from out west, look for the one with the NY on it. And by the way, I love the story of how you came to the name of it. What's the story, Emma?
Yes, so Pachamama is actually the Andean word for Mother Earth. In the Andes, Pachamama is the goddess of planting, harvesting, and fertility. And Ben and I, one of the first farms we worked on was in Ecuador. We did a few weeks stint woofing down there, which is basically a volunteer organic farming program throughout the world. So we just had a connection to Latin American culture through that, and decided to name it after, you know, Mother Earth in a different language.
Your first date, did you speak Spanish or English?
English.
Okay. Do you speak Spanish?
I do, okay. Yes.
A little
yes.
bit. Yep.
Un poquito, he
yes,
said.
Yes, that's right.
And Chris, Good Food Collective, where do they find you online?
TheGoodFoodCollective.com.
The Good Food.
Correct.
T-H-E, TheGoodFoodCollective.com. All right, if you want to join the conversation, 263-WXXI, 263-9994. And we've had a lot of feedback already on our social media, and I want to go down the list of some of the questions or comments and get the reaction from some of the folks in the room here. So let's start with... we've already been talking about the cost of a CSA, and Rebecca online said, I don't yet belong, but I've been thinking about it. Upfront costs seem hard to swallow. We've talked about that, and in fact, Melissa's been saying that not only is it important to pay in advance, but also to be able to support farmers no matter the weather. So that's sort of the ethos of the CSA, so you're getting some of that. We also have a question on the variety of the produce. So here are some of the comments I'm going to read, and then we'll go around the room here. Seth writes on our Facebook page, many are starting to customize and allow you to shape your overall take or have altered after a few years of practice. Nothing worse than taking home a grocery bag full of green peppers for a third week in a row. Christian writes, I adore the concept of the CSA, but found it exhausting to come up with a 15th way to prepare kohlrabi or mustard greens, so now I prefer the farmer's market. Sarah says, I loved it, but felt pressure to come up with something awesome to cook, and I got too stressed to continue. Antoinette writes, I tried out a spring CSA the year before last and really enjoyed it. It was with Good Life Farm in Interlaken and Ovid. I did, however, meet up with some veggies that left me challenged, and I guess I wasn't up for the challenge. Lovage, I found myself scrambling to find a recipe that both my hubby and I would like, as it was an unusual but not unpleasant taste. Anyway, it was worth it, and I would try it again, but perhaps with another farm closer to home. So there's some questions about some of the variety, and I'm going to start with piecework, because one of the points you made earlier is sometimes that's out of the farmer's control. What would you say to some of these points?
We do try and make it something that you're going to be able to take home and eat reasonable amounts of. We don't give you three heads of cabbage all in one variety. We have a macrobiotic share option. That's our only customizable way for people who are eating macrobiotic and do not eat any of the nightshades. That's potatoes, bell peppers, tomatoes, and eggplants. And some of those might react with your arthritis or not. And we give you what's ripe when there is enough extra. All the broccoli comes ripe at once. Then we'll put out a note and saying, order a little bit bulk, and people can order some extra. Sometimes we say, sorry, it's still droughty. You full share people get six items instead of 8 or 10.
Yeah. Do you sometimes have members who will say, hey, you know, I'm not that much of a fan of all of these, you know, whatever, Brussels sprouts, but I dig the carrots or whatever you are. And now I'm mixing seasons probably. But anyway, do you get the trade-off sometimes?
Yeah. You learn how to do things. As we're going down the line, we put out all our food in boxes, and you just go down the line, pick one, and put it in your own bag. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes somebody next to me is saying, oh, thyme. I like basil instead. You want my thyme? And
yeah.
I said, fine. You can have some of my potatoes. And we have a bucket at the end where you can put your stuff you don't want, and then somebody else will come along and say, yeah, Brussels sprouts, and take more of it. When things are leftover, we also give all our leftover food to a food bank. So
great.
Some people just, I don't like this. And there are times
you get... Oh, why waste
it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and there are times you get peppers 3 weeks in a row. And
which would be fine by me, but
yeah.
Anyway. But to each their own. Emma Brinkman, how does it stand with you guys? What do you think of some of the comments that you're hearing from people saying... either repetitive shares or that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we heard some of those similar comments from our members last year, just in the different ways that different people prepare food. You know, not everyone likes to make a salad every day. And if in the spring, for example, the shares sometimes are a little heavy on the greens because that's what's first in season, some people might find it challenging to get through them all in a week. So a couple of things that we've done to resolve that issue is, like I mentioned earlier, we have offered a partial share. That was directly in response to some of our members that just said, I can't get through all this food. So that's one thing. We also really, as Melissa said, try to cater our shares to everyone in the sense that each week it is different. We've got anywhere from 6 to 12 items, and we try to make both unique items available to our members. So, for example, you know, we had this really fun little cucumber last year called Mexican Sour Gherkins, and they were little thumb-sized cucumbers, and no one had ever seen them before, but it's pretty easy to pop them in your mouth and eat them. At the same time, we're giving them lettuce, so it shouldn't be too hard to figure out what to do with that. So we try to do a variety.
I just want to bring it back to the caller, the Mud Creek farmer, too, talking about this being an educational issue. You know, this country spends less time cooking than they do watching cooking on TV these days. So, you know, it's up to us to start taking care of ourselves. This is a lot about health. And, you know, on our farm, we work really hard to survey our members, you know, so we keep track of, you know, what people liked, what people didn't like, and are always trying to improve in those areas. And again, this is a great opportunity for, you know, to take advantage of this kind of a model where there's a customer proprietor relationship that's so direct that people can really, you know, get immediate feedback from the owners. When you come to Pachamama Farm, you know, you're talking to Emma and me, you know, right there. So it's not hard to express what your interests are or to ask us questions. And, you know, like a lot of farms now, we're trying to provide a huge amount of resources to people. Getting back to the educational standpoint of things is, like, on our website, we have recipes that we've collected. We have resources for cookbooks that you might want to check out. And, you know, all these things are things you just don't find in the grocery store.
I love that. I mean, there are some CSAs you'll see, and they'll send a list that says 3 or 4 ways to prepare kohlrabi. You know, and everybody in this room is nodding. I mean, that happens now. So if you are sort of on the fence about a CSA on those grounds, there is a lot of help out there. Either Google it or talk to your farmer or talk to the folks heading up your CSA. You will find people who will jump in and say, try it this way. I mean, it's happened for my wife and me, and that gets very, very interesting. And so let's have Chris weigh in on this point as well. What is the item that comes from Good Food that gets the most questions, as in, what is this?
Well, Swiss chard and beets are always a topic of conversation.
Beets? Really?
I know.
Maybe because they're sort of tougher or harder to cook, but they are so good.
They are unbelievably tasty. Yeah. And the fact that you get the root and the greens. But I will say, you know, it's the funny nature of the world, too. We do also do a lot of surveying and spend a lot of time focused on the membership experience and really making sure that it's a good one. And you know, it is. Beets is a perfect example. On the survey, 50% of people love them and wish there were more, and 50% of the people thought it was a little too many beets. So it's always a careful balance to try and figure it out. And us, too, at distribution, we've got a lot of great ways that members kind of work together and sort it out. We have a, you know, give a veggie, take a veggie table where we do some swapping and things like that. But really part of the Good Food Collective strategy with our multi-farm system is really trying to address some of these often core characteristic rubs, if you will, associated with CSA. So part of our strategy around 20 different farmers participating is it really gives us the ability to assure a diverse selection of food, a dynamic share each week, and a real abundant offering of stuff. And then similar, we just spend a ton of time supporting members and helping to support members support each other as far as recipe sharing, how to use this stuff, store this stuff. Make it last, all that different information. Our Facebook page during the thick of summer season is just a really wonderful thing to watch as people take photographs of the meal they've just prepared and share recipes back and forth. And again, on our website, we have each and every item that we distribute, a link that you can click on. It gives you storage ideas, recipe ideas, basic history and information and things like that. So again, really trying to support people's experience to make sure it's a winner. But you can't help but get around the fact that CSA inherently has a seasonal eating adventure associated with it. And I will say it's been our experience, although there's the occasional overwhelming week, that is overwhelmingly a positive experience for people. And it really exposes them to new foods, kids and families kind of enjoying things they never would have picked out themselves at the grocery store, and eating habits literally changing in really positive ways. So that's a good thing.
I want to hit a couple more subjects before the hour is out, and we're talking about CSAs on this Thursday afternoon. So a couple of questions have come in from listeners about deadlines, and we've kind of touched on it, but if you're just joining us, real quick, we'll go around the room. Piecework CSA, a deadline for spring or the seasonal sign-up, is there one?
We have a seasonal sign-up on the 22nd of March at Peace Lutheran Church in the South Wedge. And we also have sign-ups online, and you can sign up anytime during the season.
Anytime during the season.
We'll prorate it for whatever weeks you miss.
Okay. Good Food Collective.
We're signing up for all spring, summer, and fall shares right now. Our spring share is still just kind of a pilot year. We're capping it at 400 members, and I think we're past halfway at this point. We don't have deadlines, but we've sold out every season, every year.
And once you sold out, you can't. Yeah. So whether you sell out tomorrow or whenever it is, that's it.
Yep. So summer starts in June. Typically, the last few years, we've sold out sometime in May. So that's somewhat of a deadline. And then fall, similarly, selling out usually in August, early September.
And Pachamama Farm, deadline?
Yeah, we have a soft deadline of the 1st of April, so we're encouraging people to sign up early if they want. But if we don't fill up by then, it'll keep going.
Okay.
And on the 1st of April, we do have a deposit system. So on the 1st of April, a $100 deposit is due, but we do allow our members to take the whole month of April till May 1st to pay the full amount.
Okay. I want to ask Ben from Pachamama Farms if we're going to see, we've had some questions about produce, if the hard winter is going to affect spring crops.
Probably not so much in our case at all, I wouldn't think. We're keying off normal last frost dates in May, mm-hmm. and since we're such a new farm, we don't have a whole ton of asparagus planted, so we're going to be planting that. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for perennial early crops like that, but I don't think we're going to be affected.
And what do we think about Piecework?
We've got a greenhouse, and so we shovel it off, but that's where we start our early greens and how we get our early season going. So I think we'll be fine.
Had a comment from Kim on Long Island. She says, I'm considering a chicken share for my CSA as we speak, but it is rather costly. It's a good reminder, though, that CSA is different from community to community and from farm to farm, et cetera, et cetera. So real quickly, in our last couple minutes here, we've been talking about fruits and vegetables, but I'll start with Good Food Collective. There's a lot more beyond that if you look for it, right?
Yeah. As you can imagine, local farmers are producing all kinds of wonderful foods in all kinds of categories. We have all sorts of meat shares, a beef, pork, and chicken share. We do an egg share, a cheese share, a yogurt share, a fruit-specific share to really round out the fruit bowl each week. And a variety of other kind of food producer-oriented bread, pasta, coffee, local food producer shares.
But again,
as well.
You can sort of, you don't have to do all those, and vegetarians don't have to do the meat shares.
Yeah, those are all additional options that people can add on to their membership.
Piecework primarily fruits and vegetables?
We are fruits and vegetables, but at our city pickup, we have a meat and egg farmer, and we are partnering with Small World Bakery to sell their breads and their fermented vegetables, too. So we order other things like from Thorpe's that he mentioned. So we're a good audience for lots of bulk ordering from other farmers.
Cool stuff. And Pachamama?
We're exclusively vegetables and herbs.
Okay.
So we're, in the future potentially looking for collaborative projects with other local farmers. But for now, it's just what we grow on our farm.
I have about 30 seconds left here. So real quickly, if you've just been joining us, we've been talking about CSAs. There are so many out there. This is just a small sampling. So, if you jump on a variety of websites, you can find them, localharvest.org and many, many others, not just the folks in this room. But if you are interested in what you've been hearing, Pachamama Farm is where?
In Farmington, New York, and our website is PachamamaFarmNY.com.
And Piecework Organic is where?
PiecworkCSA.org.
And the farm is located where?
The farm is in Newark, and pickups downtown Rochester.
Very good. And Good Food Collective is everywhere.
We're everywhere. Our farms surround this great city, and our funky green truck is in all kinds of great locations, and we're at thegoodfoodcollective.com.
Makes me want to go home and have a kohlrabi smoothie. Thank you so much to everybody here and for all of the wonderful interaction with our listeners this hour. Great information, and spring's coming. You've got us all fired up for it. Good Food, Piecework, Pachamama, so many others, Mud Creek and so many others who are out there. Thank you for the work you guys do, and thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, short break, right back here on Member Supported Public Radio with Connections with Evan Doss.